I am again going back a long way now to the Christmas party of our battery in France in 1918. A couple of army tales were told then. Well, you always get an optimist and a pessimist in the army. This particular morning, John was on early morning guard on the fire step of the trench, and it was very cold. Tom came up from the dugout after a nice long sleep. Hello, John. What a lovely morning. How are you getting on? Not so good, Tom. Not so good. This old tin hat is pinching me head. These old shoulder straps are cutting into me back. I've been sitting on this old wet trench for hours, and I've got rheumatism all up my spine. And you see this bayonet broken. And the CO's just been round to say there's to be an attack in 10 minutes. Well, they both go over the top into the attack and unfortunately pass on. Sometime later, Tom bumps into John again. Hello, John. What a lovely morning, and what a lovely place. How are you getting on? Not so good, Tom. Not so good. This old halo is pinching me head. These old wings are hurting me back, and I cannot get them to work. I've been sitting on this damp old cloud for days, and I got rheumatism all up my spine. And you see this lovely golden harp? Every string broken, and Gabriel has been round to say there's to be a choir practice in 10 minutes. 3 soldiers lost their battalion in East Africa, a Scotchman, an Irishman, and Di the Welshman. They roamed the country for several days and at last found a hunter's shack. They had used up all their iron rations, and Di was boasting that he used to poach for rabbits and pheasants on the estates back in Montgomeryshire. One morning he set out to find something to eat. After a while, he came to a clearing, and there, lying dozing in the middle of it, was a lion. Di took one look and turned tail and fled. He was getting quite close to the hut with the lion in close pursuit. His mates saw him through the window. They rushed to open the door. Di was very nearly there when he tripped full length at the entrance to the open door. At the same time, the lion leaped straight over the top of Di and landed in the hut. Di, a true poacher, got up, pulled the door shut, ran around the outside to the window, and tapping it, shouted, "Skin that and butties! I'll be back with another in a minute." Di and Evan had been to a reunion dinner of the Royal Welsh Fusiliers. They had had a good time and met next morning to compare notes how they had got on. Evan said he had had a deuce of a row from the missus for sleeping in the spare room. Di said, "I was getting on very well until some blundering policeman trod on my knuckle." "Get up from your knees," he said. "I know you've been with the Welsh Fusiliers. You're improperly dressed. Take your shoes out of the Macintosh pocket and put them on." "Hush, hush, don't make so much noise," I said. "You'll wake my wife, Martha." Then I said to him, "Are you properly dressed? Got your whistle, your helmet, your truncheon, and your pocketbook? Well, constable, take your boots off and come quietly with me. If you will be a witness, constable, you'll soon be made an inspector. I'll let you into a secret, constable. Martha said to me, If you come home the worse for drink, I'll murder. My dear friends, I am here this evening in the absence of our worthy friend, who, I am sorry to say, is indisposed. He partook of breakfast in bed this morning, swallowed a teaspoon. Yes, my dear friends, think of it. A most unenviable position. He swallowed a teaspoon, and now he can't stir. I have also been asked to contribute to this evening's entertainment, and seeing there are so many humorous items on the program, I have decided to combine instruction with amusement. And so to that end, I've selected for treatment that most charming and medieval piece of poetry, Mary and a Little Lamb. First of all, my dear friends, let us take Mary. Mary, a simple country maiden with a bloom of health upon her cheek. Sunburnt? Yes, I think so. Maybe freckled. Mary, who had a little lamb. Mary had a little lamb. Not a large lamb, not a sheep. No, no, my dear friends, nothing abnormal, only a little lamb. It might have been a dog, or a cat, or a parrot, but believe me, that is not so, for the poet tells us it was only a little lamb. Apparently, Mary had not been dining late, for the poet does not mention mint sauce. Furthermore, all chances of misinterpretation are expelled by the description of its wool, for the poet tells us that its fleece was as white as the driven snow, and everywhere that Mary went, that little lamb would surely go. Not here, not there, no, my dear friend, nothing indefinite, but everywhere. Apparently, Mary suffered no embarrassment from the iniquity of her little lamb, for the poet goes on to tell us that it followed her to school one day, which was against the rule, for it made the children laugh and play to see a little lamb at school. Great fun for the little ones, I've no doubt. And far be it from me to deprive the dear little ones of their moments of merriment. But what of the dear little lamb there? Think of it. Think of it for just one moment, my dear friend. Why did it follow her to school? Oh, believe me, the reason is obvious. Thirsting for knowledge, anxious to eradicate all traces of educational neglect, this little lamb, this wool-gathering lamb, tired of its pen, a pen which would not write, followed her to school. Oh, my friends, think of it. Think of it for just one moment. Sympathy might have spurred it on, ridicule repelled, but oh no, that is not so. For the writer, dipping his pen into the ink of ambiguity, tells us that it followed her to school one day, which was against the rule, for it made the children a laugh and play to see a little lamb at school. I trust, my dear friends, that I have been instructive and helpful to you this evening. For believe me, this dear little poem has been handed down through the ages. It is a piece which has constantly been transposed and turned inside out. The poem, I mean, my dear friends, and not the dear little lamb. And my earnest desire of tonight's little chat is that you will teach all your dear little ones these beautiful lines, and in so doing will soften and sweeten your own hearts and souls.